I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Morro Bay, California. Come along and join me for a conversation with two contenders for a special municipal election for City Council in Morro Bay, James Costanzo, hi, and Jen Ford. Let's start with you, James. How did it all come about, you deciding to run for City Council?
Thanks for having us here, Tom. Sure, I appreciate it. I'm a big fan. I've listened to a lot of your podcast, man, the Salinan Indians, as you did here on the coast. It was great. And this is my least favorite subject, talking about myself. You know, I've been involved with the city. I always follow what the council does and everything. And I was a big fan of Red Davis as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
pushed on recently.
Yeah, sadly to say. Mm-hmm. But there was nobody else stood up. I think we need choices in town. So,
what is the core and the nut of what drove you to say, yeah, I'm willing to do this?
Well, the way the council has been going, I wasn't too fond of. I didn't like that direction that they were going. That's why. That, and there was nobody else, so I thought we could give them a choice.
So you want to turn the direction of the ship.
I do, and we give a little bit of balance to the council, a little bit of balance back. And I attended a lot of council meetings over the years, the past 15. I've always interested. They were doing stuff to the power plant when Duke Energy first bought that, after PG&E sold it. So that piqued my interest, that, and the wastewater plant.
Cool.
There was a lot of controversy over that over the years. We spent a lot of time on that. That went back and forth, as
It's still not a done deal.
It's not.
What happens with the stacks and
exactly.
The battery storage? And
Yeah, there's a lot of issues that face us here in Morro Bay.
Jen Ford, what brought you to the table?
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having us here. I have a couple of reasons why I'm here today. The first is that I've been involved with our community for over 10 years, from PTA president to being an activist in our community to being a part of other organizations and hiring panels and committees to give advice for fundraising and advice to our city manager, just a lot of different roles that I've played within our city and our county. And getting involved and listening to our council meetings and public speaking at those council meetings and attending other advisory boards, it was just kind of the natural progression of things. I was appointed to Planning Commission, was there for actually a short while before the passing of Robert Red Davis, our beloved council member and good friend. And when that occurred, I knew that someone needed to step in, and actually the council member, past council member, asked me to run for his position. So, of course, I had to think long and hard about that one, because I'm a businesswoman. I run a business. I'm a mother. And would I have time for this? And that was a big question mark. And so I had the opportunity to apply for the appointment. And when I got that, I got the unique opportunity to be your sitting council member since September of 2020.
And the term of office is how long?
It is the rest of Red Davis's term, which ends in 2024. So James and I are running for the rest of that term.
That's enough time to get in trouble. James, in a hit list, priority 1, 2, 3, if you could accomplish one thing, two things, what would they be?
Well, first of all, I want the community to be more involved. And for them to be more involved, they need to know what the city's doing. So the city needs to do a better, we're going to call it outreach, so the citizens know what's going on.
And how do you do that? Is it getting people to attend city council meetings?
I'd like to see more people attend city council meetings, so I'd like to get them more involved. We have these ad hoc committees, get people more involved, and the city needs to listen to that. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a little bit of disconnect, and of course with the pandemic and everything, but even before that, we knew better what the city was doing and the direction it was going in. So I want to bring that back. So ask the questions, not only of the city employees, but bring that into the city council meetings so everybody knows what's going on. See, I've been doing these city council meetings, I should know a lot. I've been to a lot of these council meetings, so I should be really up to game. And I'm not. I'm finding out I'm not. I got to do a lot more research. So that's one reason.
Okay, so have the citizenry involved. Now what?
Implement what they want, because I don't have an agenda. So we get the feedback from the public to see what issues are important to them and how to solve these problems.
You guys both must have garnered a lot of feedback from the community already. What's on top of the citizens' list?
people are concerned with this WRF and how we're going to complete it.
And that is that?
The wastewater treatment plant. You know, there's a lot of different things going on with that plant, and we want to see it just as a citizen, seeing how the work is being done, you know, maybe raises a couple of questions, and people have voiced that.
What would be a primary, most important question people are asking?
As far as the whole thing on the city?
Yeah.
I don't think there's just one, because we have that.
Oh, back to the water.
Oh, back to the water. Yeah. Are we going to finish it on budget? And as we know, we're already $20 million over budget. And so I know there's been talk about another $218, which is a vote on raising the tax for that. I don't think people are up for that. So that's one concern.
Already, I mean, it's sticker shock what
Certainly.
We pay every month in water sewage. I mean, that's extraordinary. Is there any thought of subsidizing that or bringing those costs down to the taxpayer?
Well, they haven't discussed that yet.
But that's something that I
absolutely
imagine a lot of people, especially retired fixed income people, that's painful.
Very painful. Yeah, I remember when it was $40 for both water and sewer. You know, that doesn't seem that long ago.
No, and I think we pay $180 a month.
Yes.
I mean, that's a huge difference.
It'd be a huge difference. You know, and if you look at Cayucas and what Cayucas was able to do, they already have their plant up and running, and it was in well within budget. So I think we shot for the moon, so to speak, you know, and it's not done yet. So we're still doing the injection wells. So that's another thing. We're doing a pilot well to see how that's going to work. So there's a lot of unanswered questions yet, even before we get to the end of that. And we're not only over budget, but the timeline has changed, so we're not sure when it's going to actually be completed. They say at the end of the year, but we're going to cross our fingers. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Jen Ford, top of your list.
Well, I like to say that completing this wharf at the wastewater reclamation facility, getting that wastewater reclamated is really important. But time is money. I've mentioned this many times. We need to finish this project, as soon as possible. But I wasn't involved in the development of this wastewater treatment plant. I was brought in September. And so, you know, really, I feel the role of our council is to review what comes forward in front of us, to do our homework, to meet with staff, and to do what we can to make the best decisions moving forward. And as James said, just completing this project hopefully on time. But I would say that other projects that people are concerned about is the battery energy storage system. That's a hot topic. You'll hear it is referred to as BESS. And that is something that I can't really necessarily give you like an opinion on whether or not I think it should happen because it...
Well, explain what it is briefly.
Yeah, the battery storage system, what it would do is it would store energy for up to 4 hours. And it helps when we have... it helps in a couple of different ways. It stores energy for when we have less energy in the system, and so it helps alleviate brownouts and hopefully blackouts and that sort of thing. We're also looking at less energy in the near future if Diablo is fully decommissioned. There's talks there too. So, but anyway, if that happens, we really need to get creative in our ways of clean energy, sustainable energy, moving forward with our future for generations to come.
That dovetails to off-coast wind generation that is in the talk stage right now.
Yeah, it is. That'll be very helpful. So that battery technology will help with solar. So when the sun's not shining, we have that extra power to get us through until daylight, so to speak. So it's a great technology. And I think there's a long way to go on that.
And the criticism has to do with fire and explosions.
Exactly. All we have to do is look to the north of us at Moss Landing. You know, they're having a time of it up there. So that's why I don't think the technology, I think it's still coming up to speed, you know, to make that a real viable option. I'm for that technology. It's just the spot to where they want to put it. I'm not in favor of that. You know, it's not coastal dependent for the battery as the power plant was coastal dependent, you know, with the outflow of the intake of the water.
So since we're talking about the old PG&E plant, the stacks, the iconic image of Morro Bay for some, what's the latest on that? What's going to happen to the stacks?
From what I understand is there's that deal within that battery and the property that's going to happen there.
That's a condition.
They said that this, you know, we'll do this. And the city said, yes, if you want to, you're going to demolish that existing plant, that the stacks will come down. Or the city had an option of keeping the stacks, but they would be responsible for the upkeep of that and the maintenance on that, which with our budget, I don't think that would be very prudent to do.
And I would just like to say that that was one of the first decisions I got to make on council was, as James has mentioned, to vote to allow Vistra to take down the stacks at their own discretion, because if we had not necessarily demanded but asked that they keep them, they were willing to do so. But as he said, we would have to be responsible for them financially, and it was just a risk that was too high for myself to take for our future generations. When I make decisions, I think about the now, but I also think about 40 years from now and what does that look like. And I have two daughters that I want to hopefully feel like they can come back and live here if they want to in the future, and I want it to be a place that they can live in 40 years. And so responsibility to take care of the stacks that really at this point have zero use other than nostalgia was just an irresponsible decision to make if I had said keep them.
Okay, one more from the constituency. Right. Issues that are of importance to the citizenry.
Well, one of the things that I hear a lot is they want the council to focus on the issues of Morro Bay. You know, all the problems of Morro Bay, our streets, our failing streets, and the infrastructure for the wastewater system too. The WRF is different than our old infrastructure, so it doesn't address that.
And WRF?
The WRF.
Is?
The wastewater treatment plant. Yeah. That's what everybody refers it to, or the wharf. But when I think of the wharf, I think of the waterfront. But the WRF, as we call it. So there's other infrastructure. We passed a couple of 218s back in 2006 and 2007. There was 218s that were passed to address that goes along Main Street, the main line for the wastewater plant. We were supposed to fix that, and we passed a 218. That's before we were going to move the waste plant from where it was. And so some of that was supposed to, you know, money was generated to fix that problem, and we haven't got there yet. That's another what I hear, you know, focus on Morro Bay and the issues of the Morro Bay and our streets, you know, our crumbling streets.
And I know Jen the other day was talking about the infrastructure along the waterfront, the crumbling embankments. What's the plan there?
Over the years, we have passed measures to address issues such as you just mentioned, the streets and, Measure D for schools and improvement in different areas of our city. But what hasn't really been addressed until more recent days is our infrastructure on the waterfront. And it is crumbling. And I believe climate change is real. And I believe that we need to take action in order for us to be prepared for those long-lasting effects that are coming. One of those is raising tides and marking tides are stronger than ever, and what's already crumbling is going to crumble that much faster. It's not just what's happening inside the water, but it's also our waterfront street and our bathroom, our public restrooms, our circulation, our sidewalk conditions. There's just a lot that needs to be addressed. It's a huge problem, and we have to start somewhere. If we keep saying, yes, it's a huge problem, one day we'll fix it, we'll never get there. We have to address the situation now, and we need to start preparing for basically categorizing and seeing what those needs are, which are the most important at this point, and you know, some that can wait, but basically assessing the waterfront, the needs, the budget that's needed, and coming up with solutions. There's already been a few that are in the works. Paid parking is one of the issues that has been brought to council, and we agreed to start a pilot program that will hopefully start soon that will help with generating more revenue on the waterfront by having turnover within our parking, which really does bring in more foot traffic to our businesses. And then we see that money come in. Our tourism dollars are extremely important for our city. And I know a lot of people say, well, I don't really use the waterfront, so why do we need to really put money into it? I don't really care about it. I stay over on my side of town. I don't use it. I don't want to pay taxes, or I don't want to look at that. That's not my problem. But I always remind them that the waterfront is all of our problem. It is all of our concern. And that reason is, if you use it, great. If you don't, it still affects your streets. It affects your police department. It affects your fire department. It affects all the different things that your tax dollars go to and that those tourist tax dollars go to.
And the revenue could be milled into the city itself. It doesn't have to be turned around and spent on the waterfront.
Well, it depends. It depends on what it is. I mean, there's a measure out there right now that was citizen-driven, and that would be waterfront only. I'm not pushing that. You know, that's not what I'm here to talk about. But, you know, measures like that could parcel tax, that sort of thing, that would be waterfront only, right? That would be harbor only. But there's other, and the paid parking is also waterfront only. It goes back into maintenance and the infrastructure there. However, there are other creative ideas out there that I've heard from the community that I would love to further dive into that may not be specific to waterfront. But I think really overall, those tax dollars that that do come from our tourists that come for the harbor, they may not spend all of their money on the harbor. They spend it in other areas. And so overall, yes, we do see that tax money throughout our city.
James, the waterfront, the Embarcadero, very important to Morro Bay. That's what makes Morro Bay so unique. We have this little harbor right here. So we can't do without that. And there's been a lot. Actually, it's been neglected. I wish we would have brought this forward a long time ago and paid more attention. The infrastructure is, you know, it needs some loving care, so to speak. There's a lot to do. See, some of those leases are responsible for that. And they're doing some building down there right now. One of my questions was, is the seawall going to be, or that revetment right there, is that going to be built up a little bit to accommodate? Because we know there's going to be sea rise. Has that been addressed? That wasn't. So I don't know what we're waiting for on that. So that was one of the things. You know, we could have done that as a city to, you know, require that, since that is being, there's some parcels down there that are being reworked. Why not incorporate that in there and see if we can't do more? And there's been some other things. You know, the Harbor Department's really been doing a great job. They're doing all they can with what little they have. And their job of safety, public safety, they do outstanding. You know, you got to hand it to them. I really appreciate them. But there's more the city can do, I think. I don't know necessarily that the parking's going to be the answer to that. So if you do that parking program, they were supposed to do a study on that first to see how the feasibility of that. And they're going to do the paid parking pilot program. But that money can only be used, you know, it's specific to that. It can be used for sidewalks and stuff. So it can't be reverted back to the city, can't use that, but it'll need to stay on the Embarcadero.
I attended the candidates night when you guys spoke. What I'm missing is, how are you guys opponents?
When you're looking to see who you want on your council, I think it's important to have as much diversity as possible. When you're deciding on who to vote for, I think it's important that the diversity that I bring is that I am a woman. I am under the age of 50. I'm a current business owner who has my finger on the pulse in our business community. I am involved with community groups throughout our entire county, but especially here in Morro Bay. I've been involved in community groups such as Friends of the Harbor Department since they started, and other groups. I think that it's important that we look at that when we're deciding on who to vote for, because as you said, Tom, we do agree on a lot, but I think that when it comes to experience and leadership and my involvement in the community, that stands out.
All right, James, what do you bring to the table that she does not?
Well, you know, I have a different approach on things. Like I says, I want the community to be more involved, and I want the community to know what the city has planned, not after they've already planned it, but before, so we can get the input on. And I've been a longtime resident. I met my wife down on Front Street. It used to be Central Coast Seafood. So I met my wife there 37 years ago or so, but I used to work on the dock there. It was a great time, man. I loved pulling all that fish. We used to get so much fish over there back when Morro Bay was a fishing community. So I've been involved with this community for a long time too, and as a business owner. So I know what's going on in the city. And so I'm a stakeholder here in town. I have a home here. And so I want Morro Bay to continue as Morro Bay is, the quaint town that it is. And so we need to keep that.
To learn more about James Costanzo's world and your website?
It's James Costanzo Morro Bay.com. You know, I'm not a big internet guy.
Techie.
I'm not a big techie, so you can find that.
Jen Ford, to learn more about you.
Yeah, you can find me at jenford.org. We made it pretty simple, but I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as well. And you can always email me at jen@jenford.org. I'd love to chat with you, meet with you, have a coffee, whatever. But yeah, I would love, love, love to hear from you.
And I'm Tom Wilmer. We've been visiting with two candidates for City Council, City of Morro Bay, James Costanzo and Jen Ford. We'll see you at the polls on the 7th of June.
The ballots actually got mailed out today.
Oh, wow.
So you could see your ballots in the next few days. And if you don't get them in the next 10 days, contact your city clerk because something went wrong. So make sure you look for your ballots in the mailbox.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.